Today on Real Life Radio.
It's a good day to know you're ready. Listen, not only ready to meet the Lord, ready to take on what tomorrow holds. Not only ready to meet the Lord, but ready now to deal with what the world is going to throw in your direction. And the world is throwing stuff constantly, right, in your direction.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Combat Faith, a Study in 2 Peter, with a message called Any Day Now, Part 2. It's been decades since Peter walked on the earth with Jesus, but his passion to impart vital yet practical wisdom to the church has never faltered. His hard-hitting final warning to all believers may be his last will and testament, but for us, it couldn't come at a better time. You see, today is the day of salvation, and a good day to know for sure that you are in the family of God. Peter's intention here in verse 3 really isn't to teach us something new, but rather to remind us of the things we already know, to stir up our minds that salvation is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise of eternal life in heaven with Him. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there are those who are not only unable but unwilling to discern the times and seasons of these last days. They insist there's no real evidence for Christ coming again to this earth, but we as believers will continue to look for that glorious appearance of our Savior's return. And now in his message called Any Day Now, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, and these are amazing times. Obviously, 2 Peter chapter 3, he's talking about the things that will be prevalent during the end of the age. Written 2,000 years ago, we are now living in that time period, which he will mention, Peter will mention to us, as other authors of Scripture will tell us, the last days or the last times or the end of days. What does it mean? What can we expect? And Peter goes down a pathway of thinking that remarkably, you've got to remember, as we read this and as we study this, you're talking about a man who was a Galilean fisherman, a small business owner. He had some boats. He was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. Yes, he was raised Jewish, which means being a Jew, he knew the Scriptures, the Old Testament. But when you read Peter, both 1st and 2nd Peter now, and as we'll see today, the words used by the Holy Spirit to communicate to you, you'll be shocked at the fact that God had taken this man on a tremendous spiritual journey of growth to the point where he speaks to us and he uses words that apply to our world today. How does that happen? How can that be? Because God the Holy Spirit knew that you and I would be standing here today. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be very present here today, to be our teacher. Father, we have come. This is a church that seeks your will. We are seeking your word. We're asking you, Father, that you might use us in these last days. And Lord, we know that it's not only us here, it's the extended family of God that has joined us, Lord, by various outlets and means. And Father, we pray that we would see you do a great work. Dear God in heaven, we pray that as we live, as we breathe right now, as you are on your throne and you look down from heaven and you see the dynamics of this world and the dynamics of our nation and the darkness of our state, God, we pray that you would awaken us. Lord, that you'd send revival. Lord, that you'd send an awakening to this nation. And Father God, that evil would fail, that righteousness would advance. And Lord, until you come for us or until we see you face to face, we ask you to pour out your grace upon America one more time. But more importantly, that you'd pour out your spirit upon your church. And God, that there'd be salvations and there'd be revivals. And Lord, that there would be a returning that we'd throw off the yoke of complacency and embrace the serious, awesome moment of which we live, a time that your Holy Spirit anticipated here in 2 Peter. So Father, thank you now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated, church. You can be seated. And last week we started and we continue on with a message entitled, Any Day Now. Any Day Now. And today may not be the day that we stress the what's known as the eschatological significance of that title, but we will before we leave this chapter, that throughout the Bible, it is taught that Christ is coming. And when you look at the Bible, when it says that his second coming is something that is spoken of and taught in the Bible, it's not in any way vague. It's not in any way vague. And I want you to hear that right now, because even with that statement, there should be a little bit of a test that's going out into this sanctuary right now, that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ being taught in the Bible is anything but vague in Scripture. The Bible's very clear that he's coming back. And yet today, you and I are living at a time when people want to argue about that to the point where some people don't even want to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. And when we think about his return, we all need to remember something. In your mind's eye, in the slate or chalkboard of your head, imagine me putting up an umbrella, big umbrella. And that umbrella is printed on that umbrella, the second coming. But under that umbrella of the second coming, there are aspects of biblical fulfillments. Do you hear me? It's very important. Because when we talk about the second coming of Christ, it commences, technically, theologically, with a very key event. The second coming is launched by what is known as the great harpazo, or the rapture, the catching up. And that's the stopwatch that starts it right then and there. And people will confuse the rapture with the physical return of Christ to earth. It's all under the category of the second coming, but it's divided up in a 7-year period of time. And it's very, very important we understand that. And so Peter is talking to us about events that certainly incorporate that. Church, last time together, you remember we looked at our first argument in this chapter 3 in verses 1 and 2. And under that title, Any Day Now, we looked at the fact and the challenge that it's a good day to know for sure. And Peter was stressing to us that it's a good day for you to know for sure where you're at with Christ. We saw, number one, are you in the family of God? It's a good day for you to determine and to realize and to find out if you're in the family of God. And we saw that. It says, beloved, I now write to you. Very quickly, theologically, Peter is announcing, I'm writing to the believers. There's no doubt about it. You can't, listen, I love you all, but you can't have an opinion on that. Peter said, beloved, that is a authorship directly to the believer. He's not writing to the non-believer. This is not open. He's writing to the church. And he says to them, I now write to you. I am going to deliver to you, the church, what you need to hear. The question is, are you in the family of God? We looked at that last time. And then secondly, we saw that now's a good time for you to know for sure that you have the mind of God. Verse 2 goes on to tell us that this second epistle that he wrote was written with this intent, in both of which he says, that's 1 and 2 Peter, to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder that you may be mindful, that our minds are renewed by the knowledge of the word of God. I told you guys before that this church, yes, people get saved here. The gospel is preached, people come to faith here. But more importantly, and I'm so blessed by ministries where the pastor or the evangelist can walk up and kind of sneeze and people get saved. I love that. When somebody gives, you know, thousands of people get up and move. Greg Laurie's got that gift. Raul Reese. I've seen Raul Reese walk up to the podium and goof off and people get saved. How does that happen? They've got the gift of evangelism. I don't have that gift. And even though by God's grace people get saved here, we are a disciple-making church. This is a church for Bible Christians to dig into the Word and grow, and we're grateful for that. But every church has its calling, and we need to celebrate and embrace that particular pigmentation, as it were, or DNA of what God is doing in a church. Some are more evangelistic, some are more disciple-making, some are this, some are that. That's irrelevant. That's up to the Holy Spirit. My calling is to bring your mind to the place of going to the Word of God. It's zero importance what I say. My passion is all about what God has said and to get you to the Word of God. And that is serious. When Peter mentions about the mind being renewed. Renewed to what? Renewed back to what you've learned early on as a believer. And then thirdly, we saw last time that it's a great time for you and I to be sure as believers that we are in the family of God, that we do have the mind of Christ working in our hearts and minds by the Word of God. Why? Because it's always the right time for us to be witnesses of God. He says in verse 2 last time that the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, that's your Old Testament, and of the commandment of us, that's what the apostles taught, and he goes on to say even of the Lord Jesus Christ or the Lord our Savior. It's remarkable, awesome statement. So church, here we go. Pick up in your note-taking. Number 2 is found in verses 3 through 6 today. Any day now? Second argument is this. It's a good day to know you're ready. Say amen to that. To know that you're ready, ready. Listen, not only ready to meet the Lord, ready to take on what tomorrow holds. Not only ready to meet the Lord, but ready now to deal with what the world is going to throw in your direction. And the world is throwing stuff constantly, right, in your direction. In fact, now, first time in America ever, is the church being persecuted and attacked by the powers that be. Listen, that means we need to be suited up and we need to be ready. And we need to be strong against the temptation to not grow weary at a time like this. I'm going to tell you now, and I pray it doesn't come across as an exaggeration. You blink now, and it could cost you your spiritual life. This is a critical time. People are being lied to, and they love it. Churches are being deceived by the pulpiteers of our day, and people enjoy it. There seems to be, as A.W. Tozer says, a Babylonian cloud that has fallen over the land, and one of deception. Are you ready? For us to be ready, what does that mean to us? Well, we learn in verses 3 and 4 that we need to be vigilant. Will you mark that down, please? Be ready. Is being vigilant. He says in verse 3, knowing this first. In other words, this is extremely important. Put it at the top of your list that scoffers will come in the last days. Can you mark that down? Okay, what do we know by this? Scoffers, some of your translations say mockers, scoffers and mockers. They're gonna come. So listen, number one, as a believer in the last days, the Bible tells me there's gonna be people making fun of your faith and of Bible doctrine. They're gonna mock you. They're gonna make fun of Bible doctrine. Most specifically, they are gonna make fun of the fact that the Bible declares several things. That God created the heavens and the earth, we'll see this soon in 2 Peter 3, and that Christ is coming back. They will fight hook, line, and sinker against the doctrine of creation. They will deny that God is responsible for creation. And they will also vehemently deny that Christ is coming back. And when the Bible says you need to watch out for these people, you need to be on guard and vigilant against them. And here's the part where it's already afoot in our world, that it's already permeating you and me. And it is this. There are people that we like who discredit the creation of God. There might be people that we hear on radio or we like reading or we think that they're, you know, that's a good church or that guy's a good Bible teacher, but he denies the return of Christ coming. And if we draw near to that kind of doctrine according to the Bible, it means we're not being vigilant. That's a dangerous thought. Knowing this first, this is preeminent. It's amazing. They scoff. The word scoff or mock here, it's the word that says to make light of. It means to ridicule. It means to make a mockery of. Listen to this. It means to belittle someone regarding their belief. And in this sense, and I want, don't answer out loud, but in this sense, I want to ask you something regarding where Peter's taking us, regarding God creating the heavens and the earth, and regarding Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming back. Do you mock that? Do you make light of that? Is it not serious to you? According to Peter, those two issues are the most serious issues that will prevail in the last days. You think I'm joking? I know you and I live in on a timeline, and we think, for example, when was the Scopes trials? Remember that, anybody? 1925? Dennis, thank you. Dennis, last name is Wikipedia right here. For real. So that seems like an eternity past to you and I. But from that time on, it became a mockery to believe in God. And if you were scientific and educated and smart, you've got to embrace Darwinianism. You are to embrace the evolutionary theory. What's interesting now is the time period in which you and I live in now, today, in the 21st century. Let's be honest. You don't hear much about Darwinianism anymore, do you? You just hear about the leftovers. Those of you who are involved in the sciences, you know well what I'm talking about. Darwin now is quite an embarrassment. His view was a religious view without God. It was an explanation of how this all came about without addressing God, explaining God away. And he used false science to prop up his view of how the things of this world came about. Because you cannot embrace and then implement the Darwinian theory and be a true scientist. Why? Because science and the laws, remember, scientific laws, they're immutable as much as immutable can be in the physical realm. They don't change. But the very theory of the Darwinian view is that everything is constantly changing. And it has to be that way when you're trying to explain God away. But the laws of God are the laws of science. And today we have people that even occupy pulpits that do not believe in the creative power of God. And we let them into our churches. And we're not being vigilant. It's a very critical thing that in the last days, scoffers will come. And the Bible says they're going to be walking according to their own lust. Don't think that's, it certainly incorporates lustful, pornographic type thinking, satisfaction, desire, passion. It certainly means that, but that's not all that it means. It means that they have lust to promote man above God. Scoffers. These men, with contempt concerning the return of Jesus Christ, insist that there's no evidence. They will say things like this: there's no evidence about the creation that tells us about God. That's what they say. And there's no evidence that Jesus Christ is coming back. It's an interesting argument. These scoffers are willingly unable, as you'll see, to discern truth. Because my dear friend, whatever position you hold to, if it's not biblically based or if it's not based in science, you will hold to a view that eventually will stick to you, no matter how silly it is. You got to be very, very careful. But they are not willing. They're not open. They scoff. They make fun of. They make light. And my challenge to you this morning in this moment is for you to ask yourself, do you know anybody who mocks and makes fun of the fact that God created all things and that Christ is coming back? Listen to this. Because these are unable to discern and to judge rightly, Matthew 16, verse 1, listen to this. Matthew 16, verse 1, the Bible says, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, that is, they came to Jesus, and they tested him. And they asked him whether he would show them a sign from heaven. Show us a sign, do a miracle. And Jesus, verse 2, answered them and said, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. You've heard this before, maybe. Red sky at night, what is it? Sailor's delight. That means the storm has passed, the sky's broken up, the red sky is indicating that the storm is over. Verse 3, and in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. And so he says to them, it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and threatening. He says, you hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. You know why Jesus says that they're wicked and adulterous? He's talking about spiritually adulterous, that they are, they're flirting with every kind of spirituality except the truth. And Jesus says, that's a wicked generation of people. Maybe that's you today. I don't know. But that's, I need to see a sign. I need to see a sign, then I'll believe. That's not gonna happen. By the way, if you see a sign that makes you believe, then that implies a sign can also happen that can cause you to not believe. You wanna be very careful about that. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And when Peter says, in the last days, scoffers are gonna come and they're gonna be mocking, and they're gonna be mocking in a certain way of thinking, a certain logic of thinking. Jesus is warning us that though you are Pharisees and Sadducees, highly educated people, the most educated in the community, because you do not want something to be true, you will embrace falsehood. And because when you embrace falsehood, listen, well, listen, if you have a worldview that justifies and satisfies and allows you to live however you want to live, okay, you'll embrace it and you'll hang on to it and you'll stand in it so long that you can't move anymore. Your mind is stuck on a certain way of thinking. I know people like this. Every thought of their mind is filthy. They can't see anything without it going dirty. You know people like that? You work with people like that? Everything about it's a dirty joke. Everything about it's some perverted analogy. Do you know you're witnessing the fulfillment upon a person who is under the judgment of God? Make no mistake about it. The Bible says those who are filthy, let them remain filthy. And today we live in an energized age that's rejected God. And listen, when God's rejected, guess what God allows? He allows you to have your prayer answered. I don't want God in my life. You say that long enough and God says, okay, I'll answer your prayer, I'll leave. And he'll leave you to yourself.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Any Day Now, Part 2. We're so glad you joined us today. Any Day Now, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. A series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, just a reminder that Pastor Jack has a lot more to offer at his website. Just go to jackhibbs.com, and once you're there, you'll find devotions, sermons, more Bible studies, prophecy updates, and so much more. Combat faith requires a knowledge of the Word of God. The more you know, the less likely you are to fall for false Christianity. Peter warns us not to be ignorant in the things of God and dedicated his life in spreading the truth found in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. Again, if your desire is to know God in a deeper way and you want to understand what it means to truly follow Christ, head on over to Pastor Jack's website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. Many of you already follow Pastor Jack on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, but did you know Pastor Jack has a podcast called Real Life Talk? It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.